We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're listening to Setting the Pace, your go-to Pacers podcast with Alex Golden and Michael Facci.
Miller for three. Oh, he banked it in. He banked it in. And the game is tied. We're going to overtime.
Warren lets it fly. Yes.
TJ Warren is not human.
Ranger catches, shoots for three to win it. He hits it.
To go. Brogdon for three.
Got it.
O'Neal drives on Yao. Puts it in.
Duarte for three.
Boom, baby.
Anthony attacks Hibbert. Denies him at the rim.
Caris LeVert, people don't realize how good he really is.
LeVert, skies high for the jam.
Stevenson passes into Sabonis for the basket.
Jackson turns, fires, and
hits. Oh, Miles Turner bringing that smoke.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits.
This is TJ McConnell, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Hey, what's going on, Pacer Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Setting the Pace. Just wanted to let you guys know that we broke today's episode down into two parts. Lots to talk about. So in part one, Facci and I recap Pacers, T-Wolves, jump right into some hot takes that me and Facci both have about the team, and then we get your hot takes and your trade ideas on the voicemail segment. So really fun part of the show right there. And then in our part two, we have on Zach Noble from Ball Is Live to talk about Pacers T-Wolves. He's a big Minnesota guy. He was there at the game. So him and Facci go one-on-one. It's a great episode, great part of the podcast. They just go back and forth talking about the Pacers team, what this team can do to kind of fix the situation they're in right now. He also had a great podcast just last week with Miles Turner. So great to get Zach's thoughts and insight on Miles Turner and just everything they discussed on their podcast. And if you haven't already checked it out, make sure you go and do that. But yeah, so just want to let you guys know ahead of time, part one, what we're doing in part two is going to be that one-on-one conversation with Zach Noble. Hope you guys enjoy today's episodes, and we will talk to y'all later this week. Facci, here we are again, here to talk about another Pacers loss. And the energy from Twitter and every other social media outlet for Pacer fans has been a little bit melancholy. Do you have any signs of light at the end of the tunnel for us, Facci?
Well, Alex, we might be back, but the boys certainly are not back. I wish they were, but man, that was real frustrating. That was actually the Pacers' sixth loss this year when leading by double digits. That should not be happening. I mean, especially when wins are not growing on trees. Pacers fall to 9-14. You need all of those games where you need at least, can you win half of the games that you're having double digit leads in? The Pacers now fall to 1-6 in games decided by 3 points or fewer. Alex, this team looked gassed on the second night of a back-to-back in the second half.
I mean, you didn't have Miles Turner. Chris Duarte gets ejected for arguing a foul call against him. You know, that's just a major blow, losing two guys that are two of your top three-point shooters in the league or on your team. And then you go, you know, you play a decent zone. It didn't, like, look great, but it was really effective. The Timberwolves didn't score a whole lot in that zone. Kind of some weird matchups going on here, but, you know, they were a little bit undersized, decided to start T.J. McConnell in place of Miles Turner. So massive, massive size, you know, difference there in terms of how you go about playing and doing different things. But I will just say this, you know, when Sabonis was not in the game, the Pacers were absolutely destroyed. I mean, it was like a plus. He was a plus 17 last night. He was in Karl Anthony Towns' head all night. Towns ended up having 9 turnovers and fouling out. Sabonis had a career night, 25 rebounds, 16 points, 10 assists. I mean, it was just one of those games where it's back and forth. But I think what you really saw here, Facci, was just the athleticism from the wing position that Minnesota has compared to the Pacers, because Anthony Edwards was a difference maker last night on so many levels. He got his hands on the ball. He had 3 steals, I believe it was. Timely steals, too. He had some big shots. And then, unfortunately, just a stretch there where the Pacers just could not get anything going. I'll read this off really, really quick. But Chris Duarte, I tweeted this out. He had a 3 to pull the game within 1. It was 80-79. After that, after that period, the Pacers scored 4 points in 6 minutes of play. That's unacceptable. The Pacers had 4 technical fouls in that period, which resulted in 3 points. They had a total of just 2 turnovers, but they gave up 3 offensive rebounds and missed 8 out of 10 shots. So you're not going to be able to win games in the fourth quarter if you have like a 6-minute stretch where you're playing that poorly.
You can't. I mean, the Pacers, the first half, it was going good. I mean, by the numbers, the Pacers shot 48% in the first half. They led by 9 at halftime. In that third quarter, they went 4 of 20 from the field. I mean, horrendous. No. The fourth quarter, I mean, you could see the frustration was building up. You mentioned the technical fouls. I mean, in a 2-point game, you can't have 4 technical fouls. Absolutely. It cannot happen. And then, man, it felt to me that the last few minutes of the third quarter, there was a major momentum swing. I mean, when Sabonis was on the bench, the Pacers just, I mean, it was turnover after turnover leading to points. Anthony Edwards, you know, you mentioned the steals. He would have steals and then flashy dunks that I really felt like brought the crowd into it. And it was a pure momentum shift. Basketball is a game of runs, and that run, the Pacers could not survive. So, I mean, it was rough. And just to go by the percentages, I mentioned the Pacers shot 48% in the first half, 29.3% in the second half. Then you talk about Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell. Alex, they combined for 74 of the Timberwolves' 100 points. So those 3 guys absolutely destroyed the Pacers. And then the turnovers. I tweeted out, I said, you protect the rock, good things are going to happen. The Pacers only had 1 turnover in the first quarter. Well, they ended up having 9 in the second half, 5 in the third quarter when things got, you know, out of hand. And it was just a shame because this was a game that, you know, the Pacers are going to open up a home stretch that we'll talk about later on. But this was a game on the road where the Pacers, they've struggled. They're now 3-10 on the road. And this was one that slipped away.
Yeah, I mean, we've said that too often, though, this season, Facci. They let that one slip away. It's like they don't have a closer. They don't have an identity. Offense gets too stagnant. Like, they're down 3, I think it was, after Beasley got the offensive rebound, hit the 3 in the corner.
God.
Pacers have the ball. It hurt. It was a big stinger, you know. But at that point, Pacers get the ball. And it's like Malcolm Brogdon sits there and tries to shake Anthony Edwards for like 10 seconds. Anthony Edwards doesn't fall for any of it. He just sits there and plays defense because he's got way more athleticism. He's way more athletic than Malcolm Brogdon. So Brogdon's not going to really get around him. There's no screen. Domas is sitting in the dunker spot. He's got 5 fouls. And all of a sudden, Malcolm's like, okay, I can't shake him. I'm going to throw it over here to Justin. So now Justin, who's not a shot creator whatsoever, has like 3 seconds to make something up. And I believe a shot got blocked. So
yeah, it did.
Yeah. So it's just like, okay, so that's what we came with out of the timeout. Like, really? Like, Caris LeVert, we've been talking about how efficient he's been recently. Last night, 1 of 7 from 3, 3 of 14 overall. You know, in this stretch, you know, there's no Chris Duarte. So you got TJ McConnell in there, and it only took 1 3, but it's like,
actually a big time 3. Like when he went for it, I was thinking, man, not at this point. Like,
right.
I think McConnell
hit
it. I think it would have tied the game. Whatever it was in a crucial point in the game about a minute ago or so. And I didn't have faith he was going to hit it.
Nobody had faith. That's why the Timberwolves let him shoot it wide open. I mean, they were like,
open.
They were begging him to shoot the ball. It's like,
got it from Indiana, pretty much.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was like wide open. Nobody was within, you know, 20 feet of him. They were sagging off on the middle. So great ball rotation to get the ball around. But when you don't have a shooter out there, it doesn't help you. And then Keelan Martin, I think Chris Denari said this at some point in the second quarter, he's only made 5 of his last 30 from three-point land. He was 0-4 again tonight. Guy can't find the bottom of the net from three. So it's just like they don't really have any great shooting out there.
They don't.
Just a lot to discuss here with this. But we don't want to over-talk about it because we're going to have Zach Noble on later in our second segment. You're going to do a one-on-one conversation with him.
And he was at the game.
Yeah, he was at the game. He actually got a video of Chris Duarte's ejection. He sent it to me via text, and I didn't respond at the moment. Yeah. I was just not in the mood at that point. But
to the wrong time he sent it. You know?
Yeah, so Zach had Miles Turner on his podcast. So going to have a great conversation with Zach about the game and a little bit more in depth with him, how the Timberwolves have been playing, that kind of stuff. But more importantly, that conversation with Miles Turner. But now – I want to move over to some hot takes, and I put out a tweet on the Setting the Pace page, and we had about 5 voicemails for hot takes or just comments about the team and how everything's going. So before we get to that, though, Fauci, I'm curious. Do you have any hot takes with this team?
I have one, and it's not going to happen, but if you want a hot take, I'll give you one. What if the Pacers – put Caris LeVert on the bench, and he came off the bench, and he was the go-to guy because we're seeing him stop the ball a lot. We're seeing, you know, kind of the team fall out of rhythm as he's taking a bit too many shots at times. That could be a role where he could be sixth man of the year, but it could also be the quickest way to rub him wrong. And that's why I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, this is not the LeVert from last year. And, I mean, if someone would make that move, it would be Carlisle. But I'm telling you right now, LeVert ain't re-signing if you take him off the bench.
Sound like Mark Monteith right now, Fauci.
I mean, you wanted a hot one. I looked at this roster. I mean, there's nothing you could do with Brogdon. There's nothing you could do with Sabonis. I don't think that Miles Turner's done anything to justify him coming out of the starting lineup. So, yeah. You know, the only other one I'd say is, you know, what if you put O'Shea Brissett not only back in the rotation,
oh God,
into the starting lineup, and I know that's not going to happen.
That's hot.
It's sizzling out here. I'm starting to sweat. But you know what? You wanted a hot one. I didn't want to be boring. So if we're going hot, those were the only two that I could come up with.
Yeah, I will say that it felt like in the first quarter, at least, when there was one center out there, the offense looked a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I think defensively, you know, the Pacers were beneficiaries of Minnesota missing a lot of good looks last night. Josh Okogie is a terrible three-point shooter as well. So there was times when Minnesota was playing 5-on-4 on the offense as well. But their big three got hot. But they have a big three, and they're pretty good, you know, those three together. I would say that D'Angelo Russell's probably the third wheel in that group. But
yep,
still just a guy that can knock down threes and can create his own shot. So here's my hot take. I'm not going to say that we should put one center on the bench and go with a more traditional lineup or a more modern lineup, excuse me. But what I will say is I think that it's time that we look for a new backup point guard.
Of course.
Everybody loves CJ McConnell. He was on our show. He's a part of our opening intro here. I love TJ McConnell. I like how he hustles, and I like a lot of different dynamics that he brings to the game. But, you know, there's not a guy over the age of 50 that won't get out of their seat and cheer as loud as they can at Bankers Life Fieldhouse when they see McConnell dive on the floor for a loose ball. Like, that is what he does. That is what he does, right? I mean, old school basketball fans love that about him. But with today's modern basketball, there's just too many times where he is a detriment to this team with his lack of shooting ability. Domantas Sabonis last night, I believe he was 5 of 12 from the field, but he shot 4 of 3. So, really, he only had four. He was 0 for 4 from 3, but he was 5 from 12 from the field. Mm-hmm. So, he's 5 of 8 when he shoots the ball where he's comfortable with it. And he got to the free throw line and had 7 free throws. So, what I would say there about, you know, Domas is don't shoot threes really unless you are at the end of a shot clock, that kind of thing. But with McConnell, like, if he's not on ball, him being off ball last night, I mean, it just kills the offense. Like,
nothing he could do at that point.
And you're talking about bringing LeVert off the bench. It's like, just think about how bad the shooting would be if LeVert's off the bench with Torrey Craig and TJ McConnell. There's no shooting there whatsoever. So I'm not saying that McConnell is a bad player. I just don't think he's the right fit for this roster. And my hot take is I think the Pacers upper management kind of viewed this team how the Washington Wizards are built. Look at that Wizards team right now, Fauci, and how well they're playing. They're built on balance. Yes, they have a go-to guy in Bradley Beal, something the Pacers don't have. But what I will say really quick is just the fact that they've got Raul Neto off the bench, who can just do so many great different things. They've got guys like Avdija. They've got guys like Thomas Bryant, who can eventually come back and be that center that he once was, who can knock down threes. Kyle Kuzma's playing well. Montrezl Harrell's playing well. KCP's playing well. Like, all the players that they got, Spencer Dinwiddie, are all good players that can shoot, and they're more of a modernized basketball team. Rui Hachimura's on that roster as well. Daniel Gafford, that kind of stuff. Good team, good balance. The Pacers have good balance, but the pieces don't fit together.
They don't.
So it's one of those things that's like, we got a lot of non-shooters on this roster. We got to get better shooters. You know, you're playing Torrey Craig at center last night. Sometimes the Isaiah Jackson minutes. I know everybody's excited to see him. They were not good. He was not good at all. It's a rough spot for a rookie to be in, right? But
it's tough.
Yeah. So my hot take is I just think that the Pacers, if they were to make a bigger move, I'd be all for it. But in terms of looking at some of the other things, I just don't think that TJ McConnell is a long-term answer for the backup point guard spot. I think they should deal him and try to find themselves someone that can be more of an offensive threat off the bench. And, you know, I don't know who that guy is, but it's got to be something to look at.
Alex, I had a sad moment today. I almost slapped myself in the face because I had to wake up. But I started thinking, I went, Knicks are looking to trade Kemba Walker. And then I went, no, that's another injured guy who has a history of injuries that we can't bring another one in, because what would we expect? At this point, Kemba's knees are going to heal themselves. I knew we needed, you know, help at the point guard position, but I just went, we can't do that. So,
what'd you do for Jeremy Lamb for Kemba?
Well, the salary works, so that was what was going in my head. But then I thought to myself, this is going to be a guy that could barely even play at that point. And then Kemba, I mean, we're not going to be able to delegate Kemba to be the third string point guard on our team, not really playing. It doesn't make sense to make that trade then. But one quick thing on McConnell. Everybody loves to make that J.J. Barea, T.J. McConnell comparison. But guys, J.J. Barea was a very capable three-point shooter. You know, I mean, this is a guy that I'm looking up his stats right now. Barea had a bunch of seasons where he was shooting 37%, 38%, 36%. That's very capable. And we're talking about on roughly, you know, 3 to 4 attempts from three. McConnell is not. He's not. I mean, this is a guy that is shooting 28% this year on attempting 1 3 per game. Last year it was 0.7. The year before that it was 0.2. This is a guy that's not comfortable shooting threes, and it shows.
Well, I will say this too. Like, he's a smaller point guard, so if they want to attack him on defense, they can get switches on him easily. He's feisty, but he's still small, right? And he can't shoot. So it's like, yeah, there's things that he does well. He's a good ball mover. He's good at getting into the paint and finding different players. Like, he does some good things. He's not a bad off-ball cutter, too. There was a time where Sabonis found him off an off-ball cut, and he got a reverse layup. I mean, there's things that he can do that are positive. I'm not saying that he's not, you know, impactful in any way. But I think that a lot of issues just start with not having shooters. And, like, the thought of starting him last night was probably more of a defensive-minded thing with that zone. But if you start Duarte, in my opinion, it just opens up so much more, number one, for switchability on defense, and number two, just for outside shooting. So just something that I've just kind of been frustrated with. And, you know, if you brought Kemba on this team, like, there's no way he's not getting backup point guard minutes. So I'd be okay with it just to try it out, because at least he can run pick and roll, pick and pop, and he can shoot the ball. So, you know, he's been streaky. He's not a good defender at all. I think that's why he's out of the rotation mostly.
It is, yeah.
For Thibodeau. So, you know, we're trying to get better on defense. And for the same reasons with McConnell, you know, they'd hunt that pick and roll every time with Kemba out there. But let's we could ramble for a while, Hotch, but we got some voicemails to get to. So let's take a break. We'll come back and get to those voicemails.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so we've got five voicemails here, four about hot takes and just kind of questions about the team, and then one kind of recapping last night's game and how this fan felt, and then they give us a little bit of a prediction for Trae Young and the Hawks. So we'll save that one for the end, but let's start off here first with our first voicemail from Blake.
Hey, guys, this is Blake. I'm a huge Pacers fan. I'm in Atlanta. I wanted to bounce this one out there. I'm sure you probably heard this one, but I'd really like to see Marvin Bagley get a fresh start in Indy. Indy has a history of reclamation projects, so I think that would be a player worth taking a shot at right now. On the way out, I'd like to see some combination of Jeremy Lamb, Goga Bitadze, heading to Sacto. I think that this is pretty solid trade for both teams. I think you could probably switch some of the players around, maybe add in a draft pick, going one way or the other. But I think we need another big, get rid of a big, switch some bigs out. Anyway, great podcast. Thanks, guys. Let's go Pacers.
All right, love the energy there, Blake, and with a Facci, let's go Pacers there at the end. But really appreciate your question and sending it in. But Facci, different minor kind of trade. We just talked about Jeremy Lamb for Kemba. Blake throws in an idea of maybe trading Jeremy Lamb and Goga Bitadze for the second overall pick, Marvin Bagley III. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to be honest. I've been guilty for a while, but I got a soft spot for Marvin Bagley. I really feel like him being in Sacramento has been a major detriment to him. It's obvious he fell out of favor with Luke Walton over there. I know they've made a coaching change recently, and Marvin Bagley actually played some good minutes in their win over the Lakers last week. I feel like he definitely needs a fresh start. Here's the thing, though. Jeremy Lamb, Goga, yeah, you can make that trade work. I feel like the Kings would prefer Goga at this point, but then we wouldn't be able to pay Marvin Bagley because he's going to be hitting free agency at that point. You got some tough decisions. I mean, you would have to be willing to let TJ Warren walk at that point and give Bagley a new deal. So I definitely don't want to throw in the draft pick. I think we can get it done without it. Feel like Bagley and Sacramento, that's coming to an end once this season's over, if not beforehand. But, man, I like where your head's at there, Blake, because I do think Bagley has that untapped potential still to go. Should have never been picked second overall, but – due to needing a new contract at that point, I don't think we can invest in another big.
Well, I think one of the big questions we have to ask is who's investing in Marvin Bagley next year during the offseason, because we know there's not a lot of teams that have a lot of cap space. So if like a team that's not very good wants to overpay for him, like I could maybe see that happening. But at the same time, like you bring him here and he's playing behind Turner and Sabonis, it's going to be one of those things where, yes, I think he might be an upgrade over Goga Bitadze, but at least Goga can accept his role. Can Bagley accept his role as a third-string center that might not see the floor every night? That's Like, to me, it would make more sense to bring Bagley in if you were trading maybe one of your two starters.
Completely agree.
Letting him play as the backup center, right? And then you find another piece that's worth the starter you gave up, whether it's Sabonis or Turner. So that's kind of where I would go with that. I mean, I'm all for that trade. I don't know if the Kings would be for it at this point, but I think you hit on – I think you're right, Fauci, that they probably would value Goga at least because he's cheaper.
I think so.
Got one more year. They don't have to worry about the whole Bagley headache. But, you know, Bagley's a good player. Just, you know, the Kings are a tough organization to play for. I feel like they're just so hit or miss with their talent evaluation and what they put together. It's like that's why they've been through so many coaches. It's like it doesn't change the way the roster's constructed and how that front office has assembled that team. But with that being said, you know, I don't think fans are going to be too excited about acquiring another big, right?
So exactly.
This is not moving the needle whatsoever. But, you know, if I'm all about a redemption story for Marvin Bagley here with the Pacers, because why not? But let's move on to our next question. Zach is up with our next question. So, Zach, take it away.
All right, my name is Zach Burnett. And if I'm Kevin Pritchard, I'm selling everything. I'm over this team. They don't want to play together. They barely look like a team when they're out there. Too many guys taking 90 dribbles of possession. I'm over it. I'm hitting the reset button. I know we just signed Carlisle to a big deal. I know we just signed Brogdon to a big deal. Get them out. Don't care. We need to figure something out here. And this ain't it. It ain't working. I don't care. We don't have one. This team should be winning more than they are.
Oh, man. Zach is fired up. He is ready to sell high on everything here, Fauci. Nobody's safe. He wants Carlisle even out at this point. So just a lot there from Zach with his hot take.
Yeah, no, definitely a lot. I understand the frustration. We're all frustrated. But at this point, I don't see the Pacers just, you know, getting rid of Carlisle. I mean, they made him one of, I believe, like the top five highest paid coaches at that point. So they're invested. They invest in the assistant coaches. Brogdon cannot be traded this year. At that point, I mean, look, when it comes to moving on, sure, you can make a trade, one of the bigs, maybe, you know, try and trade TJ Warren, but we talked about it. His value is non-existent at this moment. So we can make a move, but I don't think we're going to see the team unload all these players during this year. We might see them, you know, make one big deadline move and then revisit things in the offseason. But for now, this team, they're dead set on getting Warren back healthy and trying to see the starting five. I know it sounds like a broken record, but things are rough right now. They really are. So I understand the frustration.
I love it. I love the energy that Zach brings to the table because, quite frankly, you know, trying to keep a level head, we can't overreact the way Zach is, but there's probably parts of us that just like, man, I'm tired of watching this. Like,
oh yeah,
God, we got to do something, right? And I completely understand like where you're coming from. And my favorite part of that whole entire voicemail was when Zach was like, we got guys who want to dribble the ball 90 times per possession. You know, the ball becomes flat eventually by the time the Pacers are done dribbling the ball out of it for that entire 24-second shot clock. But, you know, there are a lot of flaws to this roster. I will not dismiss that. I feel like Carlisle is somewhat to blame because he's not utilizing guys correctly, in my opinion. I mean, why are you having TJ McConnell on the floor to be a guy to spread the floor? Like, even Chris Denari made a face last night that Quinn Buckner had to call out. And Quinn's like, you got to take that shot. It's like, you know, Quinn's the ultimate optimistic Pacer guy. And it's funny because Denari's pretty positive too, but the fact that he gave a face and QB called him out for it just kind of shows you where even Denari's at with, like, what is TJ McConnell shooting the shot for? Why is he really in the game? I mean, but with that said, like, Sabonis could be utilized a little bit differently. Brogdon, you know, there's times where he gets a little bit too happy with the basketball and can be a little bit shot happy. So I get the frustration. I agree with you. Even without TJ Warren, this team should be winning more. But – you know, it's still semi-early in the season. I'm not, like, saying they should just blow it up completely, but I would be okay with them making changes to this roster. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting that because nobody on this team, in my opinion, should be safe from being traded, Fauci.
No one has a label of being untouchable at all. I mean, no one has won enough to be able to say this guy's safe, but – yeah, I mean, with Warren, it feels like we're stuck in the mud in terms of waiting for him to come back so we could finally see everyone together. But then the real question is, how many games do we give that? I mean, Is a month enough time to say, hey, this starting five can click when we know Warren's going to be rusty to start? But that's the thing. For right now, it's rough. But we just got to wait it out a bit longer. But I cannot tell you with a straight face that changes don't need to be made. It's obvious they do.
Absolutely. Let's move on to our third voicemail. This comes from Samuel. Samuel, take it away.
What up, y'all? This is Samuel Pierre. I just want to give you all my take on the Pacers season so far. So, like, obviously it's a 9-14 start and it's a really beginning of the season and everyone wants to talk about training and all this stuff. But, like, we got to give it some time, man. I mean, when T.J. Warren comes back with a full, healthy starting lineup, you got to give that a chance. If that doesn't work by the trade deadline, I say they trade up on the big all-stars and go from there. Maybe even get Ben Simmons at this point because – if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. You got to make a change if it doesn't keep working. So, in order for the Pacers to be great, they got to make a change if it's not going to work. So, yeah, thanks, guys. See you later.
Okay, so Samuel's kind of like in the, like, give it a little bit of time, but after Warren comes back and it's still not working, then changes should be made. And, you know, I was laughing because Samuel's trying to talk himself. To me, it felt like Samuel's trying to talk himself into not overreacting. But then he's kind of talking himself into, like, maybe overreacting a little bit at the end of everything here. So Fauci, you know, talked about maybe going after Ben Simmons, saying if it's not going to work, you got to make changes. If they want to be great, they got to make changes, you know. But we appreciate you, Samuel, for putting in this thought and this question. But I think I'm kind of on board with you here to give it a little bit more time, see what they can do with Warren. But at the same time, I still think that there should be some changes made to the roster.
Absolutely, Samuel, I'm with you here. And I know exactly how it goes in terms of trying to tell yourself everything will be all right. And then eventually, you know, you talk yourself into something completely different. I've done it before saying, man, this Pacers team stinks. And then I look at the schedule and go, wait a minute. I think we can go, you know, 6-4 here, whatever it is. But here's the thing. I'm with you. This team, I mentioned it, they're waiting on T.J. Warren to come back. I don't know why we're treating T.J. Warren as if he's, you know, Kevin Durant or anything like that. But
the Godfather. Same
moment, yeah, I mean, we're really just like, oh, my God, he's going to save it all. But, no, we need to see him with the rest of the starters so we can at least get some closure on all this. And then when you bring up Ben Simmons, at one point I was very against it. Now I'm open to it. I really am. I'm just ready to roll the dice and say we need something different. We need some talent that, you know, I don't want to call Ben a superstar, but it's like he has a high ceiling that the rest of the team does not have, unfortunately. And you got to make a change at some point. I don't know if you'd be happy in Indiana or not, but, you know, you got to make a change. And Ben Simmons is that guy that wants out.
Ben Simmons is an easy target for people to talk about because clearly everything in Philadelphia is not working out. There's been rumors of the Pacers involved, but I don't see anything on this Pacers roster being enticing to what the Philadelphia 76ers want in return. So, especially
– throwing the flag in.
Right, and that's true. And they can't try for Brogdon. So, with him getting re-signed to an extension, that was off the table. So, that's – you know, I don't know what happens. Maybe a three-team deal. Those are always hard to get done in the NBA, but you never know. It's happened before. I would like Ben Simmons, though. I don't think it's a bad idea. And a lot of people were anti-Ben Simmons at the beginning of the offseason. And now they're like, oh, please, Ben Simmons. So I'm enjoying the flip-flop from people on Ben Simmons. But let's move on here to our fourth voicemail. This comes from Pat. And Pat has got a lengthy topic that he wants to bring up. So buckle up. It's going to be about a minute and a half, 2 minute voicemail here from Pat, but he's got some great points. So listen to what Pat has to say.
Hey, good afternoon, Fauci and Alex. My name is Peck. I'm from the Digest. I don't have a hot take so much as a question. Curious of what you guys think our asset management has been over the past few years. I feel like part of the problem of why we are where we are started the year that Victor tore his knee, or well, tore the muscle above his knee, basically. That was a year that we had several large free agent contracts that were expiring, and they were all let go for just basically cap space. We didn't re-sign, we didn't trade anybody, and then that's also the very famous Thad Young went into the office and talked to Kevin Pritchard, and with tears in their eye, they all decided to keep the team together, which, okay, we got a first-round exit, a sweep by the Boston Celtics, yay. and we haven't won a playoff game since. I'm just curious if you guys agree with me or have a different view that we should have tried to get something for these players before that. You know, when we knew that Victor was going to be gone for the year, why keep going? You know, why didn't we trade Boyan for a low first-round draft pick? I mean, sure, we liked Boyan. Everybody liked Boyan, but we let him walk for nothing. Yeah, you can make the argument we got T.J. Warren for that. Well, how's that going for us, you know? I think it's just been a really poorly managed time, and I think we're approaching again where we're going to have expiring that, you know, are we just going to once again let these people walk? We all know that free agents are not going to sign with Indiana, so it's just best to me to use them as tradable assets. I'll just look, hopefully you guys answer that and go from there. Big fan, becoming a big advocate for you guys. Just found your show last summer and really, really enjoy it.
Okay, Fauci. So, you know, Pat did a great job of explaining things. And first and foremost, really appreciate that you're a big fan of the show and that you advocate for us. I mean, that really means a lot. So glad you found us last summer and really glad you're enjoying it. We might have to get you on for one of our Fan of the Week. So if you'd be interested in that, reach out to us and maybe we can work something out. But this voicemail brought up some good points and something that we haven't really talked about going all the way back to 2018, 2019, when the Pacers were swept by the Boston Celtics. Fauci, in that moment, when Oladipo goes down and it feels like the season's kind of a lost cause now, do you remember how you felt? I can't remember how I felt, but were you on board with maybe making some trades and trading some of those guys that were expiring contracts?
It's tough because I understand, like, I mean, the Oladipo Pacers marriage at that time, like, it seemed really positive. It seemed like the Pacers found their guy. He went to IU. I mean, it seemed at the time, loved being there. It seemed like we found that diamond in the rough. And then you also talk about that Boston Celtics series. You got to remember, Sabonis wasn't able to play in that series. So it seemed like, oh, man, yeah, we got swept by Boston, but we were without Oladipo. We were without Sabonis. Like, just give it some time. And then you know what? You brought up a good point, Pat. Boyan leaves in free agency, and I don't think anybody expected that. I think the Pacers really expected that they were going to re-sign Bogdanovich, and he ends up getting, you know, that deal with Utah, and he leaves, and the Pacers work out a deal for T.J. Warren, and just, I mean, things changed real quickly. I think they did have an opportunity to maybe make some trades, but I think they didn't think that Oladipo was truly going to miss a calendar year. I mean, I think they thought maybe he'd be back, you know, a little bit earlier, and maybe Bogdanovich comes back. And I think the problem was that team was a very fun team and the fans really liked them. And when a couple things changed, Oladipo, you know, whatever happened during his rehab between the team and him, things changed over there. Bogdanovich leaves. And, you know, that was a turning point. It really was. That Oladipo injury changed everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think Boyan, Thad, Darren Collison, Corey Joseph, Tyreek Evans were all free agents that next season. And so the Pacers really were banking on getting that cap space. And with that cap space, they were able to acquire Jeremy Lamb, Malcolm Brogdon, and T.J. Warren. And, you know, in this voicemail, Pat goes, you know, look how good T.J. Warren's been for you. But if you go back and look, I mean, that first season under McMillan, T.J. Warren looked awesome. You know, the injuries, though, were always a concern. So I get that bit of a problem there because – you know, injuries are something this team has way too many of, and we continue to acquire players that have multiple injuries. So it's very frustrating. But, you know, I think in the moment I was like, I respect Thad Young for like, hey, let's ride this out. Cause I think Oladipo got hurt right around February in the beginning of February. So it was like, what's going to happen January? I think it was actually end of
it
January.
Was January.
So, yep. Yeah. End of right. January. And the trade deadline was just like maybe 2 weeks away. So like, that's a quick decision to make, especially after you felt like with Victor, you had a chance to be competitive, at least more so competitive in the playoffs. And Sabonis really was not good in that Celtics series. Al Horford had his way with both him and Miles Turner. Tyreek Evans, honestly, at points was the best player on the court for the Pacers during that series. I'm just being honest with you.
I know.
And McDermott got played out of the rotation. Aaron Holiday came in for him. So, I mean, the Pacers were just – not good enough without a guy. So, yes, I think in retrospect, they should have at least traded Boyan for a maybe potential like late first-round pick, Thad Young for picks. Like, I get it. It would have been hard to break up a team that just went seven games against LeBron the year prior. But You know, they weren't going to sign Darren Collison back. They already had made plans that they were going to start Sabonis because he wanted to start. They decided not to bring Thad back. So really the only guy they were going to like potentially keep was Bojan. And I'm honestly glad they didn't, because Bojan's looked a little bit slower this year. He's still a good player, still a good shooter. But quite frankly, like, you know, he was in his 30s at that point. And I didn't think that his timeline really fit the timeline of the timeline of this team. So similar to McDermott last year, they should have probably traded him as well. I agree with you. I think sometimes the organization and the front office does a poor job of realizing when the window is closing value-wise on their players. And they're more reactive than proactive, in my personal opinion. And I think they should be a little bit more aggressive and looking at making trades, because, you know, it's cool to like sneak in and get LeVert and this Oladipo, James Harden, big old fiasco. But at the same time, it's like, when are we going to really make a big splashy move that nobody sees coming? Because everybody knew they're going to trade Oladipo. They just didn't know when.
Yeah. And you know what, man, what's really tough is I've talked about it, that I feel like the Pacers front office, it has been focusing on too many like good high character individuals to try and have a team on the court that the state could be proud of. And I just feel like maybe Tyreek Evans was that guy that they went for. And when things went real south, I wonder if that really scared them off from bringing in anyone that could be a bit questionable. And sometimes you need the best athletes out there. I'm not saying get anyone who's got like a criminal record or anything, but it's like, we need some dogs. We need some guys that are, you know, maybe a little less conventional. And the Pacers have geared towards the very high character, good guys that everyone can be proud of type of players. And those don't really win games because they're too nice.
Yeah, I mean, they actually, if people remember, J.J. Redick was the guy they were going after. Redick even said it was between, I believe it was between the Pacers and Philly, or maybe New Orleans. I can't remember at this point. It might have been New Orleans after Jimmy Butler left Philadelphia and went to Miami. I think he might have been, I think that's when he left, was this season, but I could be wrong. But it was still like J.J. Redick was like, I want to come to Indiana. Like, I mean, that was like a thought in his mind about coming here. Like, he even said it on his podcast, I really thought about it, but at the last second decided to go elsewhere. And you know what? We ended up getting Tyreek Evans. A lot of people were not a fan of that era. I don't blame you. It was rough. I don't know how many layups he missed, and that's when Sabonis
point blank.
Sabonis would always clean up his missed layups and get rebounds and points. So it worked out great for Domas that season. But yeah, I mean, just a rough year. And the Pacers have had those for the last couple of years, you know, incomplete benches and quite frankly, just too many inconsistent players in your starting lineup. And, you know, that team would have been really good had Oladipo stayed healthy. But even Oladipo was starting to regress a little bit as teams focused in on him more and more, started to realize if we take him away, this team is pretty bad. I mean, remember the double teams that the Cavaliers put on him in the playoffs and just kind of took him out of the game at points. So anyway, let's wrap this up with our last voicemail here from Turner's Block. Our good friend Big Glenn gives us a little bit of a recap on last night's game to the Timberwolves and gets us a little bit excited for a rematch with Coach Nate McMillan and the Atlanta Hawks. So close us out, Big Glenn, and when we come back after that, it'll be Zach Noble and Mike Fauci.
Woo! It is Big Glenn here. Let me tell you something, man. That game may have been crap tonight, but I'll tell you what, man. We're going to be melting the ice tray on Tuesday so much that he's going to be giving the words to the most ice babies, baby. Let's go.
All right, that does it for part one. Make sure you guys go check out part two, one-on-one conversation with Zach Noble and Mike Fauci.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.